This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pynchon, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on May 31st, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are vascular disorders, traumatic brain injury, functional neurosurgery, and the skull base. Time course of recovery following poor grade SAH, the incidence of delayed improvement and implications for SAH outcome study design. A clinical article by David Wilson and colleagues. Most subarachnoid hemorrhage studies assess outcome at an early time point, often as soon as 3 months following hemorrhage. Implicit in that study design is the notion that any improvement in clinical status following subarachnoid hemorrhage quickly reaches a plateau beyond which no further improvement can be expected. The authors hypothesized that clinical recovery following SAH is a long-term dynamic process and that early outcomes may not reflect ultimate outcomes. They reviewed outcomes of patients enrolled in a prospective aneurysm treatment trial, the Barrow Ruptured Aneurysm Trial, at multiple time points up to 3 years following hemorrhage. They investigated the incidence of clinical improvement at each time interval and analyzed predictors of early and delayed improvement. Of 88 patients with poor grade SAH, 61% improved between discharge and 6 months, 18% improved between 6 months and 1 year, and 19% improved beyond 1 year. Younger patients, those presenting in better clinical condition, and those without CT evidence of large or eloquent stroke, demonstrated the highest capacity for delayed recovery. These results suggest that a substantial minority of patients will experience delayed clinical recovery following SAH beyond the time point at which most studies assess outcome. Contribution of estrogen receptors alpha and beta in the brain response to traumatic brain injury. A laboratory investigation by Saleh Zahedi Azl and co-authors. Estrogen actions are mediated by two estrogen receptor isoforms, ER-alpha and ER-beta. Both of these subtypes are expressed in cortical astrocytes, neurons, and endothelial cells, and thus could mediate neuroprotection by estrogen. In this paper, the authors examined the effects of PPT, an ER-alpha agonist, DPN, an ER-beta agonist, and estradiol on brain edema, blood-brain barrier permeability, and neurological outcomes according to the veterinary coma scale after traumatic brain injury in the rat. In this study, the authors report three important findings. First, consistent with previous literature, they found that a high dose, that is the pharmacological dose, of estradiol attenuates the brain edema and blood-brain barrier permeability, while both doses of estradiol were able to improve veterinary coma scale score. Second, neuroprotective effects of estradiol on brain edema, blood-brain barrier permeability, and veterinary coma scale score are mediated through both ER-alpha and ER-beta. Third, administration of the agonists PPT and DPN in combination demonstrated a higher inhibition of brain edema and blood-brain barrier permeability and higher increase in veterinary coma scale in overectomized rats after traumatic brain injury. Hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistula, incidence, and the relationship between symptoms and drainage pattern. A clinical article by Jong Won Choi and co-workers. This study evaluated the incidence, the relationship between presenting symptoms for treatment and drainage pattern, and the treatment outcomes of hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistulas. The incidence of hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistulas was 4.2%. 10 out of 238 patients with dural arteriovenous fistulas. Presenting symptoms requiring treatment were ocular symptoms in 4 patients, hypoglossal nerve palsy in 4 patients, aggravation of myelopathy in 1 patient, and aggravation of tinnitus with headache in 1 patient. The affected hypoglossal canal was widened in 4 of the 10 patients. Hypersignal intensity on source images was conspicuous in 7 patients who underwent MR angiography. All ocular symptoms and congestive myelopathy were associated with predominant drainage to superior ophthalmic or perimedullary veins due to antegrade drainage restriction. All 8 patients who underwent transvenous embolization, or the 1 patient who underwent transarterial NBCA embolization, improved without recurrence. 1 patient who was treated with transarterial particle embolization had a recurrence 12 months post-treatment and was retreated with transvenous coil embolization. In conclusion, the incidence of hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistulas was 4.2% of all cranial dural arteriovenous fistula patients requiring treatment. MR angiography images helped to accurately diagnose hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistulas. More aggressive symptoms may develop depending on a change of the predominant drainage route due to venous stenosis or obstruction over time. Transvenous coil embolization appears to be the first treatment of choice. Accuracy of deep brain stimulation electrode placement using intraoperative computed tomography without microelectrode recording. A clinical article by Kim Burkeel and colleagues. In the mid-1960s, microelectrode recording was developed as an adjunct to stereotactic surgery to help locate basal ganglia targets for stimulation or destruction. Although it subsequently fell into disuse, the technique was reinvigorated in the 1990s and continues to be a common method for confirmation of brain location. Microelectrode recording does complicate stereotactic neurosurgery, in that procedures generally have to be performed using a local anesthetic. Evidence is mounting that microelectrode recording adds additional risk of hemorrhage to procedures. This concern, coupled with the rapid advance of high-resolution MRI, caused the authors to develop a new method for implanting deep brain stimulation electrodes, with patients under general anesthesia and without microelectrode recording. In this prospective study, the author's objective was to evaluate the accuracy of deep brain stimulation electrode placement by using image guidance for direct anatomical targeting with intraoperative computed tomography. Preoperative 3 Tesla magnetic resonance images were merged with intraoperative CT scans for planning. Electrode targets were strictly anatomic, based on the MR images. A skull-mounted NexFrame system was used for electrode placement, and all procedures were performed with the patients under general anesthesia. After electrode placement, intraoperative CT scans were merged with trajectory planning images to calculate accuracy. Accuracy was assessed by both vector error and deviation off the planned trajectory. Based on the results of 119 electrode placements in 60 patients, the authors found that deep brain stimulation electrode placement under general anesthesia using an intraoperative CT scanner and the next frame is safe and achieves an accuracy that is at least comparable to other methods. Case-specific protocol to reduce cerebrospinal fluid leakage after endonasal endoscopic surgery. A clinical article by Kunal Patel and co-authors. Endoscopic transphenoidal surgery is expanding in acceptance, yet postoperative CSF leak rates remain a concern. The authors present a single closure algorithm that has been implemented at their institution since January 2010. This algorithm takes into account pathological features and location of the lesion, as well as the presence of an intraoperative CSF leak to determine the closure technique. The authors report a 0% postoperative CSF leak rate in a series of 209 consecutive patients, of whom 125 had an intraoperative CSF leak. The details of this algorithm are extensively reviewed in the manuscript, and the authors come to the conclusion that a CSF leak rate of 0% may be obtained following endonasal endoscopic extended skull base approaches with appropriate patient selection and with the use of an established multi-layer closure technique and a defined decision algorithm coupled with surgical experience. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.